There was a couple of, praise God, I don't know where to begin here. Let me just look at some notes I wrote down here. We're going to sing some more. Praise God some more, so just hang on a minute. What we're going to sing is in pertains to a shift in the body of Christ, a shift in this congregation, this local body, as well as a shift that's taking place throughout the whole of the church. And that is that I believe that what God is revealing is that there's a need to identify the generations of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that always there should be those Abrahams, the fathers and mothers in the faith, the Isaacs, the sons of that generation, and the Jacobs, the sons of the other generation, which means that there's kind of like three tiers of a family in the body of Christ all working together. And there comes a time when, by the Holy Spirit, there's a maturing and developing of the generations, the younger generations, where God begins to work with them and prepare them because they will be the future. Doesn't mean that Abraham will just disappear on the scene, but Abraham has got to have Isaac. The future has got to exist in the generations. That's the law of spiritual succession. It's always been that way, but not everybody recognizes that. And there's some of the songs that are being written. In fact, one of them that we sing is about there's a generation rising up, and I think that our church is going to begin to recognize that we have a generation here, two generations that are rising up, and that they must be promoted and honored and developed and matured so that they can be whatever they're supposed to be in the future, all that they're supposed to be. So having said that, I'd like to sing again the truth of that about the generations. I mentioned that to Mike, and if we could sing that the last time this morning in our time of praise. And I want to say something. I'm going to teach on this because this is praise. Everything we do is worship. It's all worship. I'm worshiping God right now. I worshiped him when I was shaving. Everything is done in the spirit and in truth. So if I say this is praise, don't be offended. This is a part of worship, but we are worshipers. Everything we do is a worship to God. We'll study that out a little bit better in the future. But we can't compartmentalize this being worship and this not being worship. Right? If I teach, that's worship. Because the word worship is a compound word made up of two things. Pros, which is forward, kuneo, which is kiss. It's a compound word that you are kissing towards God. So the whole posture of your life is like that before him. Does that make sense? Everything we do is like that. It's an honorable thing. And there are times when we stress one part of our devotions to God over others, but we can't eliminate the others and say that they're lesser. Right? 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 I'll teach on that sometime soon when it's right. But I want us to sing this and to kind of set the stage. There's two words that come out of there. One has to do with the generation, and the other has to do with the power. I'm going to be preaching something about that today. That is all in all of us. We sing it, but we have to believe it. So we'll be dealing with that somewhat this morning, okay? So what can I say? Hit it, boys. Tear it up. Let's do this. Let's pray for every generation right now. Let's start with the Abraham generation that's here in this body. I don't exactly know where the cutoff line is, and I wouldn't want to offend anybody. I know I'm in the Abraham generation, but I'm not going to impose that upon anybody who doesn't want to get there yet. So, So in the name of Jesus, let's pray for the Abraham generation right now. God, we lift up those who have been fathers and mothers in the faith, spiritual parents, people who have lived in breakthrough, who have been pioneers, who have paved the way, who've laid down their lives, who did not count them dear to themselves. They have served in order to see the next generation come along, and they have made it possible for those who follow to stand on their shoulders. And we give you praise for that, oh God. And Lord, we pray for the Isaacs, those who have been birthed by faith, those who've come into the kingdom, who are part of this body, who are part of the overall body of Christ, those who are emerging. Those are the ones who carry the future in their hearts. They're burgeoning with ideas and faith and things that God is downloading in them. And God, we want to nurture that. We want to nurture them. We see them as being the solution for so many issues in this world and in the church. And God, we lift them up now in the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, 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 continue to work in them, empowering them with the same power that rose you from the dead, that they might move and act in such a way that Christ, you will be glorified in them, that they will touch multitudes of people. They will change the face of the earth. They will change the complexion of the whole of the church, that the body of Christ will take on new dimensions, that through them, God, you will do great and mighty things. And Lord, we pray for the Jacobs that are coming along after, that, oh God, right now, they're looking and watching. They're looking and watching. They're looking and watching. They want to know what's ahead. They want to know whether they can enter into this. They want to know whether or not it's worth it. Right now, they might be living by the cunningness of their own minds and the craftiness, and they might be dealing with things of the world, and they're half in and half out. But oh God, you're calling them out of darkness, because they have destiny. They cannot fulfill destiny in the world. They'll fulfill it in the body of Christ. So God, we call them in, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, begin to download revelational truth into their lives about their worth to you in the kingdom and in the body of Christ, so that they might become connected and that we might form a threefold cord. As it says in Ecclesiastes, it is not easily broken. Let there be a complete unification in the oneness of this body between all three generations, we pray. Let there be a seamlessness between them and yet a distinction of who they are. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise you, God. All right, you can be seated. All righty, got something for you. Last Sunday, can I recap that a little bit? I don't know if all of you were here last Sunday. I don't think everybody was. Beginning with last Saturday, the Holy Spirit said to me, Sunday morning, I want you just to gather the people and call them all up front and just stand in my presence. Don't do anything. Don't pray. Don't prophesy. Don't try to minister to each other. Just come and stand in my presence. And when I shared that, you guys were so wonderfully obedient to come up here and do that. And just stand in the presence of God. It wasn't long then before Betty sang in the spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah. And then interpreted her song. Praise God. And then Jerry Gladke, by the Spirit, read scriptures to us that were profound. Yes. Thank you. And Suzanne couldn't stop prophesying. One after another. And why did that all come about? The anointing. When we came into an agreement to be one, the anointing flowed. And nobody was orchestrating anything. Nobody's mind was telling them what to do. It was all by the Spirit. So that was God's teaching example to us of how oneness operates under the headship of Jesus Christ. If when the Lord says, do this, we do this. In Colossians chapter 2, we have this word. It says, let no man cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, worship of angels, intruding into those things which he's not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, which is one of the problems that we have throughout all of humanity, puffing ourselves up in our carnal minds, which is an enemy of the cross and an enemy of the headship of Jesus over the one body. And they do these things because they do not hold the head, which is Christ. And that word hold in the Greek means to just take your arms like this and go, yeah, and seize something. That's how important it is. To seize the head, hold on fast to the headship of Christ over the whole body and over every individual life. Just because we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit does not mean we have a right to authorize our own activities. We hold the head, Jesus Christ, from whom, it says here, from whom the whole body is nourished, knit together by joints and ligaments, and grows with the increase that is from God. So let's look back on what happened last Sunday morning. Not only did our sister sing in the Spirit for the first time in front of the whole congregation, sing a song, and then interpret it, it did two things. Number one, the Holy Spirit anointing lifted her up, honored her, called her. You hear what I'm saying? Her. To do something under the headship of Jesus, that her obedience, which actually lifted her, lifted us. Because we got blessed by it. And the same is true with Jerry, and the same is true with Suzanne and everybody else who participated. We all got blessed. We just came there. We had no agenda. A lot of times when we gather in a charismatic setting where the anointing is, we tend to want to do what we want to do. But the goal of every time we come together is to hold Christ as the head. And that's where the profound things of the Spirit take place. Even in our worship this morning, you could see the oneness that was present within the congregation. And in that oneness, there was more unction and anointing upon both the musicians and singers and upon all of us. Because the presence of the Holy Spirit to worship in spirit and in truth gets larger as the corporate body agrees to be one. So I want to teach you a little bit about corporate anointing. There's individual anointings. And there's corporate anointing, which is upon the whole body at a time. And corporate anointing functions when we agree as one body to surrender to the one head and let the one head move through us. Now you might think, well, how does this work? There are so many congregations, so many bodies of Christ that form one body throughout the whole world. Do you recall the teaching on fractals? Fractals, F-R-A-C-T-A-L-S, fractals. A fractal is, it's kind of like a pine tree. If you look at a pine tree and go up to one of the limbs and pull off one of the small branches, if you disconnect that branch and look at it, step back, that tiny branch is a self-same image of the whole. All the components of the small are in the large, and all of what is in the large is in the whole. But this is a small fractal of the whole. This is one body, part of the whole body. You follow what I'm saying? So there's that continuity in us that we too hold the head. It's like Jesus taught in John 15 that we are the branches and he is the vine. I'm giving you another picture. And as we hold to the whole vine, because eventually that fractal, if it is separated from the whole long enough, it will die. We have some limbs that are bent over from the storms of this winter, and they look like they're almost completely severed, but not complete. And I'm looking outside and I'm seeing something. There's still life in those branches that are bent over. But in short time from now, they'll die because they are not fully connected to the trunk. There's just enough sap in them right now running that had been prepared to cause the leaves to come out and it looks like they're going to live, but in a couple of weeks they won't be alive anymore because they've been separated. But when we, as a portion of the whole, are honoring the head, we are connected. It's when we dishonor the head and go out on our own that we lose the life and that anointing that flows throughout the whole body. So. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 30. I want to give you a little biblical understanding about the one man and the one new man. All right? The one man and the one new man. The one man is Jesus Christ. He is the type of what we are to be. As Jesus Christ was, so are we in the world today. Okay? You follow that? So his life as a one man is what our life as the corporate man is to be like. That means for all the congregations that make up all the bodies of Christ throughout the whole world, we have not come to that place yet, but we're on the way. Because God is revealing this is a direction to take the whole church. And as we all come into an agreement with this, you're going to find incredible harmony and oneness and power that the church has not experienced, perhaps in its entire history since the first century. All right, so here's how the one man operated. I'm in Mark 5. There was a woman, beginning in verse 27, who heard about Jesus. And Jesus was being thronged. He was walking through a large crowd of people. And she heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Here's what you want to look at, verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" Well, the disciples said, "Everybody's touching you." But this woman had faith. Now, here's what happened. In Jesus resided the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And this woman who had faith communicated her faith by saying, "If I could just touch him, I know I'll be whole." And when she touched him, power, dunamis power, issued, flowed, pulled right out of him. She was pulling on the anointing that was in Christ, the Messiah. See, Jesus Christ, Christo, the word Christo, is the word Messiah in the Hebrew. Messiah means anointed one. Smeared from the top of the head all the way down with Holy Spirit. To anoint somebody in the Old Testament was to smear them with oil. Literally pour gallons of oil on them so that it would cover them. Jesus, the Christ, the Christo that they were looking for, would be smeared with the Holy Spirit. Full. And this is what the woman had heard about. And she wanted to touch him. And when she did, she pulled on the anointing that was in him. She pulled it out. It then issued out of him. Her faith connected with him and pulled it out. These are the points. Number one, he knew in himself that something had come out of him. He knew something had happened. He felt it. Number two, he felt it was power that left him. It wasn't just the imprint of a person's touch, the tactile touch that he felt. It was the fact he felt power go out of him. Three, it issued out. It flowed. There was a contact point where it flowed. And we have seen this happen in the early church. If you go to Acts chapter 5, the early church was living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And see, I'm in Acts chapter 5 again. And I want to begin reading from, let me give you a little preliminary story. There was a husband and wife couple named Ananias and Sapphira who had money. They had wealth. They owned some property. And they devised a plan where Satan had deceived them and made them think that they could sneak away with something and cheat the body of Christ in selling some property. And they pretended they sold this property and that they were giving all the proceeds to the apostles, but they were only giving part of it. So there was deception. And when you see deception in the body, it breaks the anointing. This was an example in the early church. Peter perceived by the Holy Spirit that they had cheated, and so he confronted them, and one by one, first the husband and then the wife fell down dead. And it says that there was a great fear that came upon all the church when they heard these things, and that fear was part of the congealing of that body to draw them together, to connect them. And then in verse 12 it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all in one accord, note this, in Solomon's porch. They remained in a oneness. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Meaning, the world was careful about now how to connect with this early church. They had an awe of what was going on. And they were not flippant about just joining up with them. And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Why were they doing that? Power was issuing out even of Peter. Is that so far-fetched? Has that happened in our day and age? Did that not happen with men like Smith Wigglesworth? Did it not happen with Catherine Kuhlman? Has it not happened with healing people? Without any boast, I will say that there have been times when I have traveled the world, when the anointing was so strong upon me, I did things I couldn't believe I was doing. Because the people were expecting God to move and they were in one accord in one place. One time in Sweden, I was ministering with another brother, and there were so many people to minister to. He was the main speaker. I was not. He said, let's join together. You take this side of the church. I'll take that side of the church. Even half of the church was more than I could handle. And I said, Jesus. And we just agreed, this other brother and I agreed, that we trust the Holy Spirit and ask him to just work through us however he wanted. And so I turned to this half. The church was in a semicircle similar to ours. And so I turned over to this side and I looked out and I said through the interpreter, all right, all of those of you who want to be touched by Jesus, to be healed, you stand up and come forward. I said, you can come on up now. And I raised my hand like this and whole rows of people fell out in the spirit. Never got out of their seats. Scores of people just out in the spirit being touched by God. Sovereignly. And the power was so great that when the people came forward in front of me and I moved forward to see how I could minister to them, I again put my hands out and people fell out, flipped out, fell down, just full of God, just laying on the ground, being masterfully healed by God. I didn't even touch them. There was power that would issue forth because we were in one. Those people were in agreement that if we began to minister, they would get healed. And it wasn't by my power. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. I was just a vessel, just like you. No different. Now, I have not had that happen all the time. But I've had it happen enough to let you know it can happen. To not just me, but to you as well. Smith Wigglesworth was one man. There were people who would come in his presence and fall down convicted of sin. Many times during the healing era of the 50s and 60s when the great evangelists were present, they healed people with their word. They didn't get to touch the people. They just spoke it out. God's power issued out of them. One passionate mind in one place can make all the difference in the world. You and I most often are worried about whether or not we can do something. Isn't that true? I wonder if I have the right words. I wonder if I have the power. I wonder if God will use me. I wonder if I'll say the right thing. I wonder if I lay hands on somebody, they will be healed. I wonder. The reality is the wonder hinders you. When you come to understand it's the anointing that flows through you and nothing else, then you rely upon the head, Jesus, and you pull on him, then what is pulled out of you by those people who are longing is nothing more than God himself flowing through you. And that's the way we're to minister. There is a corporate anointing. When Jesus said, I pray that they be one even as we are one in John 17, well, he meant that we would be so connected to one another and to God, the Father, and Jesus, the head, that we would flow in this earth like he flowed. He was one man. We are one new man. He was the individual example. We are the corporate example. As he was in the earth, so are we today. What he did, we are to do. He said, the works I do, you'll do even greater works because I go to the Father. He was limited in time and space. We, the body of Christ, fill the earth. He lived in a period, 3.5 years of ministry. We can live in 10 times that period of ministry. And all of us multiplied can do individual works and corporate works beyond anything we've ever done if we will live like Jesus did. He was so connected to the Father that the Holy Spirit flowed through him effortlessly. It was no work at all. And that's the way we're supposed to be. Let's look at Psalm 133. This is a psalm of David. David knew a lot about the Holy Spirit. He understood unction. And he knew when the power of God was working through him. He did amazing things physically. And he wrote scripture and prophesied many things about the coming of the Lord and was a type of Jesus, of course. And here in this psalm which he wrote, he said this in Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I was talking with Brenda just before the meeting started, and I said, a lot of the interpreters have been afraid to use the word oneness or one. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell as one. And the Hebrew word here is a word that is easily translated unity, but it comes from a Hebrew root word for one. Are you with me there? Just like in John 17 where Jesus said that we would be one, that word is heis, but when it's translated in Ephesians 4 where it says that we would should maintain the unity of the Spirit, that word unity is henotes, which comes from the word one. And some Bible translations are willing to admit that it can be one and not just unity. So David was perceiving through history one new man that would be a compound of all the believers joined together that would look like Aaron but would be a collection of all the believers forming one new man. Are you with me? Do you need me to go over anything? You follow this? So David was seeing this one man. It's so good when we dwell together as one. Hallelujah. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down to the edge of his garments. It is a picture of the anointing that touches not just the head, but the whole of the body. There is not a different anointing for the shoulder than there is for the toe. There's not a different anointing for the ear and one for the finger. It's the same Holy Spirit that flows through all of us. There is no difference, no measurable difference. None. I'm careful to think about something right now. When the prophet Elijah was about to die and taken up to heaven, Elijah, who was the generation after him, asked if he could have a double portion. And there is a confusion in the body of Christ today that is asking for double portions of the Holy Ghost. I don't know if any of you have heard this. Eventually you're going to hear somebody talk about it. That they're going to say, well, just like Elijah had a portion, and Elijah got twice, meaning he did have twice the amount of miracles take place in his life. But the question is, did he have twice the amount of the Holy Spirit? No. What he asked for was the blessing of the firstborn. The blessing of the firstborn, which was an inherited blessing, meaning you get the first choice of what my property is being bequeathed to you. The blessing of the firstborn was the double portion, not twice Holy Ghost. So any misunderstanding whereby we think we should have more Holy Spirit, the only time we need more Holy Spirit is when we leak. And we need constant fillings. But we're not going to get a double amount of the Holy Ghost. There's only one Holy Ghost, and he's going to come and fill us equally. Are some of you being delivered when I said that? To know that the Holy Ghost in you is the same as it is in everybody else, no difference, no lesser, the same, and that you do the same works by the same power of the same Spirit. Not a lesser amount because you think you're a lesser person, or your work is lesser, or your gift is lesser. Betty, your gift is not lesser. What you did was not lesser. Follow what I'm saying to you? Holy Spirit is the same in all of us. But in our minds, if we begin to think, well, I'm not as good as so-and-so, he's got that, she's got that. Well, after all, we can go on and on. And the possibilities are endless, and all of them ruin our capability of just letting Jesus flow through us by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. The key is that all of us do one thing. We seize the head, Jesus Christ, and say, Jesus, whatever you want. We're not puffed up in our fleshly minds, thinking this or that of ourselves. But you are the head of the body, just like this head runs this body. And your head runs your body. No different. So this is what I want to say to you. Next Sunday, you're going to gather in house churches. I'm asking you to reinforce this truth with one another. That the first thing you do is collect yourself into a sense of the oneness that you really are. Hold on to the head, Jesus. And then out of that, let Holy Spirit flow through you to each other and let him direct the meetings for the good of all of you. Amen? So let me pray. We'll have a time you can fellowship with one another. Encourage, bless, pray, minister, love on each other. But before that, I want to pray. God, as we are moving along in these deeper thoughts, these deeper truths, they're not deep to you, they're deep to some of us because we've not walked in these things before. We just thank you for Holy Spirit not only to be the power but the teacher to guide us into these truths as we come together, not just here on Sundays but on those gatherings on Sunday when we meet in homes. And those who have wondered what you should do, we had a good lesson last week. Get in the presence of God. Come together as one. Let the head be the head. Let him flow. Let the unction function. Let the unction function through you to each other. And be ready to see God glorified in your midst. And all of you be edified by his presence. And loved on by each other. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you.